You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Tuesday, July 14th. Yes, you heard right. It's Tuesday. There was no Monday show, because I had to work from home on Monday. Thus, there was no commute. That wasn't planned. That was a Monday decision. And boy, what a frustrating day it was, because Comcast is not my friend. Thus, I am probably getting a lot out of here a little later than I wanted to, because I didn't get as much work done as I wanted to yesterday. Nor did I get a show done. But here we are on Tuesday with the work done and the show being recorded. And I have a full show for you today. I have a topic here. What's the topic? Today's topic is pandemic goat poaching. Pandemic goat poaching. Doesn't that sound fun? Oh, come on. What is going on here? Is this guy pulling out or is he just parked right there? Hold on. I have to carefully go around this tractor trailer parked in the middle of the road. What are you doing? I think they're building some houses here. Does anybody want to live near where I do the Christian commute? There's new houses being built right by my office. If you want to live in a neighborhood where you could walk to the church and right next to the graveyard and also walk to the truck stop, the cheap hotel, the jail, or the pornography store, then the new neighborhood right by my office is the place for you. Yeah, that's right. My exit has a truck stop, hotels that cost $20 a night, the sketch gas station, and a pornography store. So that's, and there's a, if you go on down the road, there's a jail and some bail bonds places. So you can imagine the type of work that goes on here besides making carpet. So I like to get off this exit as quickly as possible. And that's what I'm doing now. So that's what's going on in my exit. Sorry for that rabbit trail. Pandemic goat poaching is the show topic. I have a question in the inbox about heretics leading churches. That's from Candace. And in the hopper, I have questions from Daryl, Terry, and Shay. Daryl, Terry, and Shay. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's enough to get me through the week, but not through next week. Hold on. Letting the horses run. I just floored it. I've got it floored, and nothing is happening in this slow car besides me burning expensive gas at a high rate. Look at this. Hold on. What is this? An Astro van? Do they make Chevy Astros anymore? Oh, no, this thing might be on its last legs, going slow in the fast lane. You guys want me to start 1 John chapter 5. So do I. As soon as I get in the right lane. Here's one of these bumper stickers that says Kid Chess. Are you advertising that your child is in a chess club for children? My dad taught me how to play chess when I was little. But I don't know if I'd be in a kid's chess club. That's too good at sports for that. And too impatient for chess. All right. 1 John chapter 5 verses 1 through 2. 1 John chapter 5 verses 1 through 2. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. Here we find, again, that Greek phrase, pos ho pisteuon, whoever believes in English. What's going on? Is there traffic? Hold on. Sorry, I had to quickly switch to Google Maps because traffic looks slow in front of me. Pos ho pisteuon, all the believing, which we translate into English, whosoever believes, or whoever believes. This is not about your choice to believe. It's just talking about the people who do. The set of people who believe. Also, the set of people who love. Because you look down in the Greek, all the loving ones, or all the loving. Pasho, I didn't write it down. Pasho, agape something, all right? Listen, it's been a long time since I took Greek. I can't parse those verbs anymore. Pasho, agape something. So that is all the loving. We translate it whoever loves. So keep that in mind. It's not that we've all have this choice to believe in love. It's just talking about sets of people. This is how we identify people. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. So those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He holds a specific title, office, fate, if you will, destiny. There's only one Christ. As I said last week, there's Christ figures. We talked about Christ figures in the Old Testament, but they point to the Christ. That's who Jesus is. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. Now, the English translators have inserted the word child there. The Greek just reads, whoever loves the Father loves the born of him. But the implication here, or the implication there, as we can tell from the previous verse, is those who are born of God. This is not talking about loving Jesus. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. This is talking about all of us Christians, all the people who are born again, born from above, born of God because we're adopted as God's children, generally speaking, the children of God. So whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever loves the Father loves the child born of him. That's our brothers and sisters in Christ. By this we know that we love the children of God. So if you had any doubt about my interpretation there, there it is, that we love the children, plural, of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe his commandments. What's his commandment? His commandment is for us to love one another. Who is us? The children of God. Right? But it all starts there, look at that, believing that Jesus is the Christ. That's who's born of God. What do the people born of God do? Love the children of God. All right, there we go. That's loving the Father. Now let's move on to the inbox. Candace from Wisconsin. She asked me, you know, Seth, I was thinking about what you were saying yesterday, or not yesterday, but a few shows ago, about when there's, say, for example, a female pastor, that person's rebellious. They're in rebellion against God, and they're leading a church, but they're leading it down the wrong road. And she says, how many heretics who are leading a church know that they are deceiving the people? I guess versus a genuine heretic who thinks he's right, but is nevertheless a heretic. So there's people out there, I'll just give an example, who are modalists. And they genuinely believe that there's one person in the Godhead. And they will argue that all day long. They're not trying to trick anybody. They really want people to believe that that there's one person in the Godhead. Like a oneness Pentecostal. They genuinely believe it. Versus somebody who maybe preaches the prosperity gospel and knows it's false, but they know they can get rich that way. So Candace is asking me how many heretics who are leading churches know, in parentheses, genuinely that they are deceiving. Then she has some other questions. Don't they fear the judgment of God? Okay, Candace, so let me answer that question with, I don't know and there's no way for me to know. I mean, I would have to do a survey of every heretic who's leading a church. So let me get every female pastor and every prosperity pimp and every hoobadooba happablabber out there and ask them, Do you know that you're deceiving people, or do you really believe that you're right when you're wrong? And I mean, of course, the survey would be garbage because the people who were lying would say, oh no, I really believe it. So, I mean, Candace, I don't know, and you and I have no way of knowing what heretics who are leading churches genuinely believe their error versus those who are just trying to scam people. I have no idea. I could guess. I'll tell you this. I will more charitably think of the United Methodist Lady Seminary graduate who is quote-unquote pastoring a country church of 80 old people, because that's where the General Assembly sent her, and she is their quote-unquote pastor, and that's her job, and she does the things that pastors do. I will charitably grant her that she probably genuinely believes that what she's doing is okay, and that it's really okay for females to be pastors, and she really believes some of the Bible is true, and she may even really believe Jesus is God and that he's resurrected. She's just genuinely wrong, and she's leading the people astray, right? Versus someone like Benny Hinn, who has a giant mega church and goes on tour knocking people in the head and telling them to send him seed faith money, who's a gazillionaire. I don't believe for a second that Benny Hinn believes in the prosperity gospel. Not for a second. I think he's a fraudster and a scam artist. Now, you know, Pastrix Betsy at Podunk United Methodist Church, I mean, she's not making $1 million off of that. She's just trying to help people. All right, so there's a difference there. But Candace, does it matter? And the answer is no. So I'll give you an example from a movie which has always stuck out to me. It's a profane Martin Scorsese movie, so be aware if you watch it. It's full of violence and the F word, and I don't like to watch movies like that anymore. But it's the movie Casino, starring Robert De Niro. And in that movie, Robert De Niro plays a casino manager who works for the mob. So the mob, I think in Kansas City, controls the casinos in Las Vegas. And it's no secret that organized crime used to control the casino industry in Las Vegas. So Robert De Niro's character works for the mob. I'm trying to remember his name. Is it Sonny? I can't remember. And here's what happens. He has a gaming floor supervisor. So at casinos, they have supervisors. I think they might call them pit bosses, who supervise the various games. So they got slot machines, and they got a guy watching over the slot machines. They got a blackjack table. They got a guy watching over the blackjack table. Because casinos bear the risk of their customers trying to scam them. Their customers and their employees trying to scam them. So everybody has to watch everybody. So there's a scene in the movie where there are two guys cheating the casino, and they have some kind of mechanical device, because in this day, this is an old movie, or the movie is set, I think, in the 60s or 70s, and slot machines were run by mechanical inner workings. Nowadays, slot machines are computers which are set up to randomly have somebody win. So it says, all right, slot machine, 99 out of 100 times have somebody lose, 1 out of 100 times have them win, and it's a randomizer, and they press a button. It's not a true slot machine. But in old days, there was a slot, and somebody pulled a mechanical thing, and it went around, and it had similar odds mechanically where it's going to stop on three cherries. For a Baptist, I seem to know a lot about gambling. So in the movie, there's two guys, and they have figured out a way to rig the slot machine so they can win, and they keep winning, and it keeps paying off. And the supervisor doesn't say anything. But then the floor boss notices, and he tells Robert De Niro what's going on, and security catches the people who are cheating the casino. And Robert De Niro goes and he fires the floor supervisor. And here's what he tells him. He says, you're either in on it, you're helping these guys cheat the casino, in which case you're fired, or you're too stupid to notice that these guys are cheating the casino because they keep beating the odds and winning, in which case you're fired. So you're either intentionally deceiving with them, which means you're fired because you're a deceiver. You're not qualified for your job. You can't protect the assets, so you're fired. Or you're so incompetent at your job, even though you're genuinely trying, that you're fired because you're horrible at it. Either way, you're fired. So Candace, when we think of United Methodist Pastor Betsy, who spent all that time at Candler Seminary and is quote-unquote pastoring 80 old people for $40,000 a year at Podunk United Methodist Church, comparing her to Benny Hinn, it doesn't matter whether somebody is intentionally deceiving, they're a false teacher and a heretic, or whether somebody genuinely believes it, they're a false teacher and a heretic, and they're leading the people the wrong way. Both will be judged by God, and I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of either one. So we can't know the motivations of people's heart and their inner insides. We can only guess. Sometimes it's more obvious than others. But what it comes down to is they're either following the Bible or not. They either match up with God's word or they don't. And let me add this, Candace. I am convinced that there are people who are teaching true things. So you could have a pastor in a church that's 700 or 800 people, and he went to seminary, and he knows the right thing to preach, and he preaches exegetical sermons, and he doesn't ever say anything heretical, but in his heart, he doesn't believe. He's just going through the motions and keeping a job. I believe those people are out there too. So it runs the gamut. But what it comes down to is, are the people getting biblically taught? That's what matters. Who knows what they really believe, Candace? Now let's move on to today's show topic, pandemic goat poaching. Now, stuff has begun to open back up. Like, I can go to my favorite restaurant in Calhoun again, Dubs. Stores are opening back up. People are going back out. It's almost time for school. According to the news I see, cases in COVID are going up. Of course they are, because people are back out, not staying at home by themselves. And more people are being tested than were before. So, cases are going back up. Anyway, what's opened back up that I've noticed is churches. And I plan to make my reservation to go to church. Now, at First Baptist, we have to make reservations to go for the services. So the people at the church who work there know, well, this is how many people we can expect. This is how many people we can fit, because they're sitting every other row. So anyway, even though all that unusual stuff is going on, that's what's happening. So where I go to church, they've opened back up. Some churches never closed. So here in Cartersville, when you look at the big Baptist churches, that would be Tabernacle Baptist and First Baptist, and both of them have been back open for a while. But something I saw yesterday on Facebook, one of my friends who goes to Cross Point, which is the seeker-sensitive church, which I detest, which has their little bumper sticker with two arrows that my wife said looks like a gay symbol, with their four-stripe Adidas Mark Driscoll pastor, who I think has some kind of New Spring training. Right, I've talked about them ad nauseum. They're not open. And maybe they're probably one of the three biggest churches in town. Three or four, if not the biggest. So I think if I had to just guess from driving by, the biggest churches in Cartersville are Liberty Square. That's the big Church of God church. And then the two biggest Baptist churches are Tabernacle Baptist and First Baptist. We don't have a megachurch. And then Cross Point, which is, if you drill down, it's a member of the Baptist Association. So it's like kind of barely Baptist or barely Southern Baptist. I did not know it wasn't open yet. I assumed it was. But I had a friend on Facebook say, you know, he was upset that they weren't open. And I'm like, why aren't they open? And I'm trying to lead him down the path. They're not open because all that is a live streaming service anyway, that kind of church. You know? So now is your opportunity, friends, Orthodox, non-heretic friends, to do some pandemic goat poaching. I got told today by a friend of mine who's always sending me little news bits that Andy Stanley's church is closed for the rest of the year. They're going to do live stream only. And they, quite frankly, that perfectly suits probably almost everybody who goes to Andy Stanley's church. But now is your opportunity, because I guarantee you there are people who want to go to church, but they're at goat church. They're at whatever your town's cross point is, or your town's north point is. If you're not sure what your town's cross point or north point is, go to a Google map of your town and type in point with an E, church, and you will find something point, and you will know, that's who I need to goat poach. I don't want to call it sheep stealing, because to say it's sheep stealing presumes they're saved. Those churches attract goat people. And sometimes, I guess they do, attract regenerate Christians. Now is the time to invite the people who go to those seeker-sensitive goat churches that haven't opened yet to your Orthodox church. And what they will experience, maybe for the first time, is decent preaching and a godly biblical attitude around church. What they don't know, to be taught tautological, is what they don't know. So the people who have been going to seeker-sensitive goat church for 5 years have forgotten what real church is like, what biblical church is like. So they don't know their church is bad. They think they hear good sermons because they only hear the sermons of their goat church. But by now, maybe these people are realizing that their churches are businesses more worried about liability than in doing whatever it takes to get open for the Lord's Day, as other churches are doing. Because meeting together, Christians meeting together to worship God, means something. Church is something. The ecclesia, the called out ones, is a meaningful thing. It's not something that can simply be replaced by a live stream. Listen, these goat churches, I'm telling you, I don't know what their revenues are. Maybe their revenues are down. But I think some of them love it because they have to come up with volunteer armies. All these greeters and people to show you around and bring you to the coffee bar and love bomb you like crazy, that's a lot of free labor to organize. Now they just need the sound guy and the cameraman and the praise team to come in, and they can put on their production, and they don't have to have all that volunteer labor. They can just have people sit at home and click to donate. If there's one good thing about this pandemic, real or imagined pandemic, if there's one good thing, is that all the shutdowns, when all the churches shut down, the bad ones shut down too. So it has shut down a lot of people who would have otherwise gone to Bethel or Stephen Furtick's church or something like that. They're not going. And maybe they might get out and look at something else. It's like taking the Pepsi challenge. I wanted to do a show coming up called The Preacher Challenge, but I think I've already done it in 1,000 plus episodes. Whereas, you remember the Pepsi Challenge where you said, all right, I drink soda XYZ, I drink Coke. Take the Pepsi Challenge. Blindly taste test these two sodas. Tell me which one you like better. I bet it's Pepsi. That's the Pepsi Challenge. That's from like the 80s or 90s when I was little. Take the Preacher Challenge. Listen to a preacher different than yours and see if your preacher is as good as you think he is, as biblical as he thinks he is. Here's what I think happens in goat church. People know they should go to church, and I've talked about this before. But they grow up in these little churches with incompetent pastors. So imagine growing up in a legalistic church with some incompetent Bubba Ray Dudley looking pastor, and he's a terrible preacher, and you just get judged and hear bad sermons. But you know you're supposed to go to church. So you go to the exact opposite of that. You go to Gene's church with the person who puts a lot of time into his message. That's what he sits there and does, is crafts that to tickle your ear all week. At Bubba Ray Dudley Baptist Church with the legalists and every, you know, you can't wear pants if you're a woman. Well, at that church, you know, where everybody's wearing culottes and everybody's got a crew cut, at the KJV IFB church, they're not catering to you. They're judging you. Right? And people think that's what church is, so they reject it and they go to goat church and they never see the real biblical church that's not legalistic, where people prepare their sermons. Do you guys know that there are pastors out there who don't prepare their sermons? It's called the Sandy Creek tradition. I think I've mentioned it on the show before. What haven't I mentioned? There's like 1,007, 1,006 episodes. What haven't I mentioned? But the Sandy Creek tradition is, it says this: the preacher's not supposed to prepare a sermon. The Spirit's just going to give it to him and speak through him. The local county missionary here, his name is David Franklin, the Bartow Baptist Association. I've had to meet with him various times going through seminary for him to tell me what's up. That's one of the classes in seminary, I forget which one, preaching practicum maybe, says, meet with your county missionary, can learn what's going on. And David told me one time, he's like, listen, some of the worst preaching you'll ever heard, here, I'm not quoting him verbatim, some of the worst preaching you'll ever hear is at these KJV-only churches where they won't prepare the sermon. You have to, if you're going to get in that pulpit, you have to have a black leather KJV, just like Paul and Peter had. And you have to go up there, you don't prepare it, so they're just preaching off the cuff. This is where you have, some of you people need to get out of the Facebook and get in the good book. Some of you people need to get off of YouTube and get into YouVersion Bible. Hey, man, somebody listen to me down here. We got all the world. The worldlings are wearing jeans to church over there, listening to that guitar music. Hey, man, we're not going to do that right here. Hey, man. They're just spouting off opinion after opinion because they didn't exegetically prepare a sermon. All it is the M.O.G.'s opinion. The M.O.G. is the man of God. All right, the man of God. I'm the man of God up here. But I'm going to tell you, hey, man, hey, man. So that's what they think preaching is. All they've ever heard is ill-prepared, bad preaching. So then they go to Cross Point or whatever your town's Cross Point is, and they hear a guy talk like this. And he's got a really well-prepared message. And he has 3 or 4 points. And he knows how to really tap your ears. He knows what you're feeling because he's done demographic research and he knows the demo that's coming and how people feel nowadays. And he's going to tangentially relate that to the Bible. That's what he's going to do. And he's not going to yell at you. He's not going to challenge you too deeply. He's going to make you feel good enough to come back, but maybe bad enough to know you can't miss church. All right? So they go from this traumatic bad place to a place that's purposely prepared, except now the place that's perfectly prepared for them, perfectly perfect in every way, like Mary Poppins, the place that's prepared for them is shut down. And they're certainly not going to go back to independent KJV only, hey man land. Although, quite frankly, that's probably better than their Cross whatever, Point whatever. But now this person's jonesing to go to church. They got no coke. Take the Pepsi challenge. Invite them to come to your church with you in person. Maybe their eyes will be opened up and they'll say, I've never heard preaching like this. It's biblical and convicting. And nobody is bending over backwards here to get me coffee and make me feel good. Oh, there's some kind of standard of holiness at this church. Now is the time. Take advantage of the pandemic. It's like I did when the stock market went down. And I took my house equity and I bought a bunch of stock. And then it went up and I sold it because everything was down. If there were stocks in these seeker-sensitive goat churches, X Point, we'll call them. We're going to X Point. X is the variable. Cross Point, Life Point, Town Point, Sky Point, Cloud Point, Road Point, Heart Point, Soul Point, People Point, Power Point, Baptist Church, whatever you want to call it, but they don't call it Baptist Church. Their stock, if you will, is at an all-time low. Now is the time to swoop in with the friendly invite to church. And you guys know that I am not somebody who says invite somebody to your church all the time. I always say invite them to Jesus Christ. Invite them to know Jesus. Then they will come to church. Don't use the church as an evangelism place. But now is the opportunity. Now is the time to strike. Strike at the heart of X Point. All right? Listen, it's easy to pick off these little goat people. They're all little consumers. Pick them off. Pick them off. All right? They're like... Remember in college and high school, there was dating and there was talking? You know, if you were dating, you couldn't go on a date with somebody else. That's your girlfriend and you're cheating. But you're talking. Well, you're talking to that person. You like them. You're romantically interested. Y'all are talking. But it's okay if you talk and go on a date to somebody else. That's not cheating. You're just talking. That's how these people are. They have a high schoolish maturity level. A high school, not in life. They may be very successful in business. But they have a high schoolish level of Christian maturity. They're little milk people. And they're talking to their church. They're talking. And then they might start dating because they're volunteering. But they never get married, per se. They'll go somewhere else if the tickling is better over there. Or if they have a better band. All right? There's a lot of pressure on the seeker-sensitive goat church to, you know, always have the best band and always have the best messages and volunteers so that no one has a bad experience, a bad customer experience. Can you rate your experience here? 4 out of 5, 5 out of 5. What can we do to make you more comfortable, you hellbound sinner? Pandemic goat poaching. Only on the Christian Commute. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. If you have a question about Christian theology or apologetics, please send it in to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com or dial 470-315-0875. If you have my phone number, don't think you can send me a text message, because I'll just direct you, and you know who you are, to SethDunn88@gmail.com or 470-315-0875. That's the Christian Commute roadside assistance line, the Christian Commute inbox. The Christian Commute is your theological roadside assistance. I'm so thankful that I have a full inbox, but I'm upset to be behind this Hyundai Sonata going below the speed limit. I'm on a road with a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit right now, and this guy is going well below it. Listen, you have to try. Like, give actual active effort to go. It's easy to go fast. You just put your foot on the gas. You're not paying attention. You're going around. But going this slow takes real thought. It is easier to drive 100 miles an hour through zipping out through traffic cones on a racetrack than to drive this slow. Please, Hyundai Sonata, do not turn into my neighborhood. And with that, I will thank you for listening once again. And give you the wish I always give you. God bless. God bless you. Thanks for listening. And remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.